this week on the Chronicles of Time, we are once again going to dive into the marvelous lives of our first ladies. Last time, in episode 26, we covered Jackie Kennedy to Jill Biden. But today, we're going to cover Grace Coolidge, Lou Hoover, Eleanor Roosevelt, Bess Truman, and Mamie Eisenhower. Although completely different, all these women did extraordinary things while first lady. But before we get into this episode, I wanted to let you all know I have a new blog post out about me and my father nearly getting stranded at the Hoover Dam. You can check that out on my website, thechroniclesoftimepodcast.com. Okay, now we can start the show. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to The Chronicles of Time. Let's dive in to the First Ladies Part 2. The role of First Lady was completely thrust upon Grace Coolidge, just as much as the presidency had been on her husband, Calvin Coolidge. The death of President Warren G. Harding left the nation mourning, but they quickly saw the silver lining in the situation. They had a new spunky and outgoing First Lady. As for the new president, he was all the opposite. President Coolidge earned the nickname Silent Cal, but Grace made up the chatting for the both of them. At times, she would internally battle her changing role, writing in her autobiography, "There was a sense of detachment. This was I, and not yet I. This was the wife of the President of the United States, and she took precedence over me. My personal likes and dislikes must be subordinated to the consideration of those things which were required of her." Nevertheless, she gracefully fell into her role, no pun intended. Upon moving into the White House, First Lady Grace Coolidge was upset by the lack of authentic furniture from past presidents in the House. So she went to Congress and pleaded with them that they allow donations of furnishing. Congress obliged. Grace also put her efforts into having people with disabilities visiting the White House. Grace herself had mastered American Sign Language, and one of her famous guests she entertained was Helen Keller, who was the same age as Grace. When not entertaining at the White House, she would spend much of her time submerged in the world of baseball. An avid fan, Grace once said of the sport, "You may not give a hoot for baseball, but to me, it is my very life." Let's keep in mind that this was the same baseball time period that the famous Babe Ruth played. So yeah, I would say it was quite an invigorating time for the entire country. But it wasn't all sunshine during Grace Coolidge's time in the White House. In 1924, tragedy struck the first family. The Coolidge's son, Calvin Jr., had been playing tennis at the White House with his older brother, but he didn't have socks on and got a blister on his toe. The blister caused an infection, and the young boy would pass away from blood poisoning at the age of 16. First Lady Coolidge took a respectful amount of time to mourn her son, Calvin Jr., but she was ready to resume her duties as First Lady. My personal favorite Grace Coolidge story, in which we've talked about in episode 13, Presidential Pets. In 1926, the Coolidges received a raccoon for Thanksgiving. Grace, like any rational human, did not eat it. But unlike a rational human, she kept it as a pet and named it Rebecca. Rebecca would make a star appearance at the 1927 Easter egg roll at the White House. She would also join them on month-long vacations, but eventually had to be donated to the zoo due to her acting like, well, a raccoon. When Calvin Coolidge decided not to seek re-election, it was a shock to many, including his wife. She would find out her husband wasn't running through the news. This is what she had to say of the situation. "Isn't that just like that man? He never gave me the slightest intimation of his intention. I had no idea." By the time Grace Coolidge left the White House in 1929, she was a very popular woman. She was voted one of America's 12 greatest living women in 1931. The National Institute of Social Sciences also presented her with a gold medal for her fine personal influence exerted as First Lady of the land. Grace Coolidge would pass away in 1957 at the age of 78 from heart disease. she still remains ranked among some of the most popular first ladies of all time. I'll be frank, researching Lou Hoover was much more difficult than the other first ladies. I highly suspect it's because she is smack dab in the middle of two very outgoing and loved by the public first women. It's like being the forgotten middle child. In her defense, she was only first lady for a mere 4 years compared to Eleanor Roosevelt's 12 years after her. And on top of that, the Great Depression had a grip on the country the entire time. But enough of all that. Let's talk about all the stuff that Lou Hoover did accomplish. She became first lady when her husband, Herbert Hoover, became president in 1929. While in the White House, she accomplished quite a few things. She was the first lady to make a radio broadcast. She would go on to do 15 in total. First Lady Hoover was extremely involved in the Girl Scouts and even led her own troop. Her role in the organization even had a huge impact on the future of the Girl Scouts. She was an instrumental figure in making the selling of their cookies go nationwide. Lou also made fitness and physical activity for girls a top priority. But perhaps her biggest moment in Washington was when she entertained Jesse DePriest for tea. Jesse DePriest was the wife of Oscar DePriest, the first African-American to be in Congress in the 20th century. All hell broke loose in Washington when she had her for tea. Legislators, especially from the South, were livid and even sent angry letters to the First Lady. But on the DePriest side, well, this is what Oscar had to say. My wife enjoyed the experience and the social contacts very much. She was treated excellently. There was no indication of a desire to discriminate in her case. Naturally, she is very much pleased with the whole affair. Lou would leave the White House in 1933 after her husband had a devastating loss to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But in the end, the press just never seemed to take to Lou Hoover. Her image as First Lady to the public was aloof. To me, Lou Hoover is misunderstood and deserves a better rap than she was given. She would go on to pass away in 1944 due to a heart ailment. Scholars and researchers weren't able to access her life writings until 1985 due to Herbert requesting them to stay sealed for 20 years after his death. That could also play a part in her under-the-radar legacy. But America had a new First Lady, and Eleanor Roosevelt was everything Lou Hoover wasn't. When FDR was elected to the presidency, the American people had no clue they were getting a two-for-one kind of deal. For the next 12 years, America would see the closest thing to a co-presidency that has ever occurred. This is probably mostly due to Eleanor Roosevelt having to be her husband's eyes, ears, and legs, a role she would happily take on after her husband became paralyzed from the waist down due to polio in 1921. But it worked, and the American people must have agreed because they elected FDR to an unprecedented 4 terms in office. The Roosevelts moved into the White House in 1933 in the midst of the Great Depression. Our new First Lady couldn't just sit idly by and do nothing but entertain. No, she wanted to revolutionize what it meant to be the First Lady of the United States. It was jokingly said that Miss Roosevelt didn't walk anywhere, she jogged. She would become the first First Lady of many things. The first to hold a press conference, the first to write a daily news column, and the first to travel the country by air. During her press conferences, she would only allow female reporters to attend because women were usually excluded from presidential press conferences. Her daily news column, My Day, began in 1935 and continued until her death in 1962. It was published in 160 newspapers nationwide. As for her travels, she would go over 400,000 miles during her husband's presidency. She would travel by air to help ease Americans' fear of flying. But it wasn't uncommon for her to drive herself around the country completely alone. Eleanor advocated for African Americans, women, and the poor. She would have a tremendous influence on her husband's decisions as president. She would encourage him to appoint more women to federal positions and was in support of his New Deal. Although they made a great political team, Franklin and Eleanor had an extremely separated marriage. After catching her husband having an affair in 1921, the relationship was forever strained. FDR would continue the affair even after he was caught by Eleanor, and his mistress was actually by his side when he died. As for Eleanor, she would have relations with both men and women throughout her life. During World War II, The First Lady would travel to countries where United States servicemen were stationed and our allies and visit with the men to boost their morale. She could make a friend wherever she went. When in Washington, D.C., she would often go on walks in the street and return to the White House with a group of strangers she met along her way to entertain for lunch. But Eleanor would make some enemies along the way, too. Many thought she was too progressive and had too much of a say in her husband's presidency. In 1939, she would stand her ground when the Daughters of the American Revolution, or the DAR, refused to let Marian Anderson, an African-American singer, to perform. The First Lady resigned her membership with them in protest. After her husband's unexpected death in 1945, Harry Truman became president and Eleanor Roosevelt returned home. She didn't have much time to relax because President Truman quickly appointed Eleanor to the United Nations. She would spend her remaining years politically active, hosting a television program and never missing a moment to live. She died at the age of 78 in 1962. Her legacy lives on, as she has gained the nickname First Lady of the World. Still, to this day, many consider her the best First Lady we've ever had, and it's quite easy to see why. Bess Truman, like Lou Hoover, was nothing like Eleanor Roosevelt. It didn't matter much, because the American people came to admire and respect their new First Lady. The Trumans were thrusted into a new world. Her husband, Harry, had only served as vice president a mere 82 days to FDR when he became president himself. As for the new First Lady, she had no desire to be in the spotlight, saying to the press, "You don't need to know me. I'm only the president's wife and the mother of his daughter." Bess rarely spoke in public and discontinued Eleanor Roosevelt's practice of holding press conferences. Instead, you could write her. But as antisocial as she wanted to be, she was still the First Lady of the United States, so she often had multiple engagements, such as tea, in a day. Washington's social season had resumed after the war. One thing she did have in common with Eleanor Roosevelt was both women frequently gave their husbands political advice. Harry extremely valued his wife's opinions and advice, and when he didn't tell her that he was dropping the atomic bomb, she was furious. During their stay in the White House, they had to relocate to the Blair House in Washington, D.C. The reason was because the White House was in really shabby shape when they moved in and underwent a massive construction project from 1948 to 1952. Just as soon as they had returned to the White House, it was time for the Trumans to leave again, but this time for good. In 1953, our down-to-earth First Lady was replaced by Mamie Eisenhower. Bess and Harry returned to their home in Independence, Missouri, where they often spent their time with their daughter Margaret and her family. In 1982, Bess would pass away at the age of 97, making her, to this day, our longest living First Lady. And here's a side note for any fan of The Office. Bess Truman's maiden name was Wallace, and her father's name, you guessed it, David Wallace. Unlike her predecessor, being the First Lady of the United States came natural to Mamie Eisenhower. She was the epitome of the average 1950s woman, and people loved her for it. She took charge of the housekeeping instructions in the White House and ran a tight ship. But she also appreciated the White House staff, often sending them cards and gifts on their birthdays and special occasions. She also attentively examined the White House budget and would often coupon. The Eisenhowers would spend their evenings watching popular TV shows like I Love Lucy and enjoying their dinner on TV trays. But the couple rarely discussed politics with each other. In fact, during her husband's 8 years in office, Mamie only visited the Oval Office a total of 4 times. But she didn't mind. She didn't want to be involved in governing the country. She would keep her political opinions private from the public, but she secretly disliked Senator Joseph McCarthy so much that she made sure he was never invited to the White House. As for the press, she only held one press conference while she was First Lady and denied an invitation to write her own newspaper column. A few things she did do was resume the White House Easter egg roll, which hadn't been held since 1942 due to it being wartime. She also fabulously decorated the White House for holidays, especially Halloween and Christmas. But the one thing that First Lady Eisenhower may have done best, her style. People loved the way she dressed and would recreate her styles. She was even on the 10 best dressed women every single year when she was in the White House. She was known for wearing her signature pale pink, which would go on to be named Mammy Pink after her. The color absolutely exploded around the country, with people painting their kitchens and bathrooms in the color. She even painted some of Camp David, the presidential retreat, Mammy Pink. Perhaps Mammy was one of our first iconic first ladies, but she was also ending an era. She was our last first lady to have been born in the 19th century, showing that the old was leaving, making way for something new, or someone new rather. Jackie Kennedy would be the nation's next first lady at only 31 years old. She and Mammy were polar opposites and had nothing in common, but that could be because of the age gap. Mammy Eisenhower would pass away at the age of 82 in 1979, 10 years after her husband passed away. But if you want to know more about Jackie Kennedy all the way up to Joe Biden, listen to episode 26, Modern First Ladies. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode over First Ladies Grace Coolidge to Mammy Eisenhower. This has been so much fun to research and to tell you all about. All of my citations will be in my Google Cloud along with other episodes. I'll post the link in my social media, and don't forget to check out my website, thechroniclesoftimepodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, or just want to talk history, thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. And if you like this episode, leave me a rating and review and tell some people you know. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and this has been The Chronicles of Time.